May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Number 92. Genesis chapter 24, commence reading at verse 29. Genesis 24, verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass, that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee once more to rend the heavens and to come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Lord, in thy infinite mercy, we are spared once more to gather on this thy holy day. And oh, we do pray as those that journeyed to Emmaus did, that thou would abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray that we may be like those two dear souls. For Lord, thou didst go in and abide with them. And oh, that thou wouldst abide in our hearts this night, and that thou wouldst abide within the sanctuary here, that thy house may be to us the house of God and the gateway to heaven. And oh, may we lose sight of the things of time and of this world and see no man save Jesus only. Thou knowest, dear Lord, how we each have gathered. Thou knowest the sins that beset us, the unbelief that so often creeps into our hearts. We pray that thou wilt convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wandering minds reveal the secret love of God. Oh, do help us to confess our many sins before Thee and come pleading for mercy. Oh, that we may be washed in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. That fountain that the dying thief rejoiced to see. Oh, that we may know what it is to be washed and cleansed from all sin, and to be made white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, do come and seal pardon and peace to each sin's exile. And may there be those, Lord, have the mountain of sin rolled away by Thy pardoning love and precious blood. And oh, that we might have that blessed passport for heaven. But Lord, none of us know what a moment or an hour will bring forth. But oh, that we may be ready, waiting for Thy coming. Lord, do grant to us that real religion Thou dost give to Thy dear people. May we not be left to be weighed in the balances and found wanting when we come to die. But oh, that we might be found in a precious Christ. One said once, in Him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Oh, do come and seal home to our souls, that we are one of Thy children, that Thou hast chosen us ere time began, and that we're among Thy dear redeemed people. Oh, do come, Lord, where each one is this evening, and knowest how Thy people come into Thy house. We pray for any coming careless and indifferent, that this may be the appointed time, and not to propose, but call by grace. Oh, may there be many yet awakened from the grave of unregeneracy to seek Thee and to serve Thee. And may there be those in this village, around this sanctuary, yet brought to flee the wrath to come, and come seeking a portion for their souls. Lord, the power's Thine. We beg of Thee to work in us and for us, and to work, Lord, mightily in our loved ones and our families, and that Thou wilt work too in our little denomination. There may be many brought to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And O Lord, may there be those that shall truly flee the wrath to come, and to cry out, give me Christ or else I die. Oh, may we see the wonders Thou alone canst do in these dark and solemn days. We pray, dear Lord, that those that are cast down may be lifted up as they gather this evening. Those that have heavy burdens, do help them, Lord, to cast them all upon Thee and beg for Thee to undertake for them. And oh, may there be given that sustaining, upholding grace to those that bear heavy burdens. And Lord, do remember those that are full of fear. Oh, that thou wouldst speak of fear not to thy fearful people. Lord, do deliver those that are tried and tempted. And, O Lord, may it please thee that those that feel to be under thy frown may know what it is for thee to smile upon them. And to grant them, Lord, peace within, that peace that passeth all understanding. God, who make us real, dear Lord, and make us right. We pray to be taught of thee, and oh, may we each, Lord, know that heavenly teaching. For thou hast said in thy word that needeth not that any man should teach thee. But oh, may we be truly taught of the Lord. And given, Lord, that aching void which this world can never fill. Who go before us, dear Lord, in the journey, guide us by thy counsel. And afterward receive us to glory. May we continually be led by thee, both into thy truth and into the green pastures beside the still waters. Be led into thy sufferings and death. Oh, do lead us, Lord, forth by that right way. May it please thee to undertake for those that may have got impossible things and difficult things to pass through, Lord. We pray thou would undertake for them and manage all for them by the way and to the end. And oh, do remember, Lord, those that need a confirming word. Oh, do come and confirm thy word and confirm thy promises. And confirm to us, Lord, we're in the narrow way. And oh, may it please thee to bless the dear little ones and the dear children. Remember them each, Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy people. May there be raised up those from among them that shall be a gracious asset to this cause and design. And Lord, do remember the dear young people. Bless those at school, or those at college, and those that ventured into work. We pray that thou wilt guide them and direct them and go before them. And may they see thy hand working wondrously for them and in them. Lord, may the prayers of dear parents be heard and answered. May there be yet many, Lord, that shall be raised up to be a gracious strength to thy people. Lord, where thou hast begun thy work, may there be a deepening of the work and a establishing of those in the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, do make each one steadfast and unmovable. Remember our beloved young friends who hope to marry this year, Lord, and others in the future if time is spared. We pray thou wilt go before them and undertake for them and guide them. Those that have ventured forth in marriage of recent days, and others, Lord, that have come over the years, we pray that they may see thy hand providing in all things, supplying their every need. And, oh, dear Lord, do cause thy smile to rest upon each one And Lord, we remember those in affliction. We think of those in deep affliction, some in hospital, Lord, some in their homes. Our dear aged friends too. Lord, who visit them and make each bed in each affliction. And if it's thy will, send that needed healing. And may these things, dear Lord, all be sanctified, that there may be a blessing in them all, and thy name glorified. May remember each one that we would and should pray for, any that may feel forgotten or left out, do come and visit them with thy salvation. And do bless the deacons and help them and guide them in all things and give them wisdom and grace and understanding, and bless the hymns they give out. And I do remember, Lord, this cause of truth, and add to the church, we pray, precious souls, yet if it would please them. May there yet be those made willing in the day of thy power to take up their cross and to follow thee. May there be a moving of the waters in our own flock and throughout Zion. We thank thee for the ones and twos thou hast brought, Lord, and we would bless thee for this. And we would be truly thankful for present, and yet ask for more. We seek thy blessing upon the congregation and church here, that thou wilt bless the ministry to their souls, and bless thy servants with gracious liberty and the anointing of thy Spirit. And I do remember Zion at large, and especially our own flock at home. Oh, that thou wouldst yet grant a gracious revival and a building up. And we pray for thee to appear in the nation, to hear the cries, Lord, of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And oh, may thy grace and fear be put in our leaders and rulers, in our royal household too. And may there yet be those that shall openly declare, even in this land, their love to thee and the need of thy appearing. And remember those that are persecuted throughout the earth, and all those in war-torn lands. Oh, do send peace if it would please them, and turn many hearts from serving Satan to serve thee, the only true God. And we would pray for all our dear friends at home and abroad, and commit them to thee and to the word of thy grace. And oh, that there may be a scene, the wonders thou alone canst do. Who anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be the Lord's messenger this night, in the Lord's message. And may none be empty sent away. Grant a true spirit of hearing, the application of thy word. May it be life and power to thy dear people. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. Help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. And Lord, we would not forget those away, that thou wilt bless them where they are. We ask these poor breathing, seeking the pardon of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
In 173, Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all, for I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. 173.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and the 10th verse. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5 and verse 10. And the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What a divine favour it is if we have the God of all grace as our God. Because from that fullness of grace, the blackest, vilest of sinners can draw all the grace they need, that they might continue in the narrow way unto glory. Now, we looked this morning a little at this first part. I want us help briefly this evening to go a little further. But the God of all grace, who hath called us. Oh, may the Holy Spirit sweetly whisper that into your soul and mine, who hath called us. And I'll tell you what, you'll feel, child of God, so unworthy that he should have ever called us. And what too? Unto his eternal glory. It'll be tasted, handled and felt in sweet and sacred measure here while the child of God's in the earth. But the fullness of this will be known in heaven. As we sung in the closing verses just now, by Christ Jesus. That glory all flows from him. He is the glory of his dear people. And they can glory in him who alone can do them good and do everything for them. By Christ Jesus. But then he says, after that ye have suffered a while. The Lord did not promise his dear people an easy path to heaven. There were times where we will suffer a while. And here, he makes it absolutely clear that this will be the path. And of course, the Lord is a sovereign of the in the distribution of the sufferings to his dear people. But they will all suffer in some measure. It may be suffering because of sin. And so often we do, don't we? It may be a suffering because of affliction. But what I want to lead you to is this. It's the path that the dear Redeemer trod. But the wonderful mercy is, it's only for a while. It seemed very sweet to me when the text dropped in, for a while. won't be forever with the wicked, you see. Some have suffering here in time, but the solemn thing will be, it'll be eternal suffering. But with the child of God, it's just suffering for a while. Now, the hymn writer said, didn't he, in that sacred hymn, and may we just remind you of it, where the dear poet said, our sorrow in the scale he weighs and measures out our pain. And there may be those of you that are suffering at this time. It may be in the hands of Satan tempting you, trying you. It may be in the path of affliction. There are many of the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. It's a wonderful mercy that is, isn't it? He delivereth them out of them all. Not some of them. After that you've suffered a while. And then it may be the suffering of persecution, and none of us know what may come into this land yet. But oh, we think of the dear Apostle Peter. He knew what it was to suffer a while at the hands of Satan. But the mercy was, the Lord was to deliver him out of it all. But you see, as we looked at this morning, this is when we shall need grace. When we walk in this path of suffering, whatever it be. Whether of body, of mind, and many of God's dear children have suffered much in their minds. But then, or whether it be suffering in circumstances, or at the hands, as I have said, of Satan. But I want to go further. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Now these are four blessed things that the Lord will favour each of his dear children with. And so much of it will be through the path of suffering. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Well, I know what you'll say. Well, there's no perfection in us. We're not perfect. And we aren't. Why? Because we're four fallen sinners. There's only one man that ever walked this earth that was perfect. And that was the dear Lord Jesus himself. And oh, how perfect he was in his life, in his sufferings, in his death, in his resurrection, and in all the wondrous works of the Lord. There's sweet perfection. As for God, the word of God tells us his way is perfect. His work is perfect. His dealings with his dear people are perfect. And he will make his people perfect. We read, don't we, in Psalm 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man. And of course we know that refers to the Lord Jesus, but he will make his dear people. The perfection that is given to them all flows from a precious Jesus. They are perfect in him. And you and I will be, if we are among those he came to suffer, to bleed, to die for. that wonderful, perfect righteousness that he has wrought out for them and that faith puts on. And they'll be perfect in him because he's put away all their sins. Oh, may the Lord so exercise us each to know our pardon signed and our peace procured, that we might be perfect. And you see, as seen in Christ, the whole church of God is absolutely perfect. There's no blemish or spot are found upon them. Why? Because they're all seen in him. And what he does for them is perfect. You know, it's wonderful to watch the Lord's hand and see the wonderful perfection there is. Well, let me just go a little further into this. Look at it firstly concerning creation. I've sometimes looked at some of the small things, like, you know, when you look at the leaf of a tree. It's all the handiwork of God. Every vein in that leaf is all put there by the Lord. And look at some of the beautiful flowers there are in the earth that we see at this time. The wonderful perfection there is in them. The handiwork of God. And I was thinking of little babes, you know, when they are born. I was looking only the other day and thinking of the little fingers and the toes and the minute parts of the body, the perfection there is, made by God, you see. We're told in the Word of God, aren't we, that no man can begin to fathom out how the bones grow in the babe in the womb. They're all in the hands of God, you see. It's wonderful, really, isn't it? You see, his ways, his works are perfect. And then think of the work of grace in the sinner's heart. It's a perfect work. From beginning to end, the imperfection is with us and our poor fallen nature. But that work which God works in the soul of his dear children, Christ formed in them the hope of glory, is absolutely perfect. It's a perfect work. And it's, why is it so perfect? Because it's all the work of God. And whatever the Lord does is perfect. So he brings his dear people into these times of suffering to make them perfect, to make them cry unto him for mercy, cry unto him for his appearing. They can't go on without him. To make you perfect. You may say, what, such a wretch as I, ever be perfect? In Christ, there's all the perfection, poor soul, you need, both for time and for eternity. Make you. Notice the wording of it. It's personal, you see. And as we try and set this very feebly before you, tonight one feels in one's own soul, Lord, do make me perfect. And you see what the Lord speaks to his dear children by words of promise. They're so suited to the soul that needs them. They fit perfectly right into their exercise, into their desires, and into their souls. You think of the apostle, we named him this morning, the apostle Paul, as we read the chapter together. When the Lord spoke that word, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that was so perfectly fitted to the sufferings the dear apostle was walking in. I think of many times where the Lord has been pleased to speak to our poor soul and to many others we know of, and how perfect the word is, suited to every sinner's case, you see. When the Lord speaks it and he applies it with divine power, it's so perfect. And you wouldn't want any part of it altered or changed. Well, much could be said upon this beautiful clause. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. You see, the Lord has his instruments and his ways and his works are all in his hand, and he will use the trials you come into, the afflictions, the distresses, to make you perfect. Or to make us, we sing of it, don't we? Sick of self, that we might be fond of him. You may say, well, in some of the things you pass through, however can any good come out of it? Think of what the apostle said, and we know, he didn't say we think, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And you see, his purpose in bringing his dear people through suffering is to make them perfect, fit them to his mind and his will, and they're all in his hand. But I want to go further. He doesn't leave it there, does he? Well, much could be said, of, as I have said, on this, make you perfect. May the Lord wonderfully speak that to each of us. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Establish. What does it mean in its simplicity? Well, my little understanding of it is this. It's to make them firm, secure, sure, unmovable, established. You know, some of the old preachers and the old saints used to speak about the Lord establishing his dear people in the truth. And that is to make them steadfast, you see, unmovable. You take the case of the Apostle Paul, how wonderfully he was establishing the truth. What was it enabled him to preach so searchingly and blessedly that he did? And same with Peter. It was because they were upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and they were on that rock which would never move, and they would not move. I remember some years ago now, and we had a lot of trouble in some of the churches in Zion, and I remember going to a meeting, and I tried to set before them what was right in it all, and where I felt they were wrong. And there were those there that said to me, well, we've come to the point where we know we're not going to move you. And I said, well, I only stand for what is real and right and what the Lord has shown me. And I said, I base my truth upon God's holy word, and if you deviate from that, you're on unstable ground. It is vital, you see. And in this dark and solemn day, may there be many established, establishing, firm, unmovable. And if the Lord is establishing you and rooting you and grounding you in Christ, you've got a good foundation, poor soul. We read at Southery together this afternoon of the Apostle Paul leaving the church at Ephesus. And the reason he was leaving them was to go up to Jerusalem to behold the place where his Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, suffered, bled and died. And what does he say in that chapter? But none of these things move me. The affliction would come, there would be trial, bitter things he'd have to walk through, but he said, none of these things move me. You see, you go back to the old saints, that us that are older remember, and you know they were stable, steadfast characters when it came to the vital things of God. They were not easily moved when it came to vital truth. And here, this is what the Apostle Peter is setting before these that were scattered abroad. They might be stable, steadfast souls. And this is my great concern. You see, not driven about by every wind of doctrine. There are many today, you don't know where they're going to be. They're on one side of the fence and then the other. Dear Mr. John Gosden used to say, there's no neutrality with the Lord. We have many today that say, well, we're neutral. They jump either way. There's no stability, which is exceedingly solemn. You know, with a cause of truth, and many that have gone to lightness and departed from the old paths. Why is it? Because there's no stability. There's no discernment. There's no standing for what is right. It's almost peace at any price. But you see here, the apostle was firm in vital things. Make you perfect, establish. Steadfast, you see. Well, could the word of God tell us, be ye steadfast and unmovable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. That's a wonderful word, isn't it, really? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, he says here, make you, and this is what the Lord will make his dear children, perfect, establish. Then he goes further, strengthen. And do we not need strengthening? We need it in several ways. First of all, we need it in body. We're poor, weak worms of the earth. Many of the Lord's dear children are weak characters because of the trials they've had to go through, the afflictions. The hymn writer said, didn't he, in themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand? When temptations, foes and storms press them close on every hand, strengthen. And do we not need that? Think of that beautiful promise. And how many times we've had to plead it over the years. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, our old nature thinks, well, we're going to have strength today for tomorrow, but the Lord didn't say that, did he? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And not only does the child of God need strengthening in body, but strengthening in mind, and then they need strengthening in their soul. I remember in my early days in the ministry going to Swanwick Shore and preaching from that word in the, I think it's in the 138th Psalm, where it says, thou strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Oh, that the Lord would strengthen us. You see, not only did the apostle need that word, my grace is sufficient for thee, to strengthen him to bear the thorn that he had in body, but he needed it in his soul. Oh, he did. And you know, the Lord has given some most beautiful words, hasn't he? In his holy word, of strength to his dear people. What did the dear apostle Paul say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And do we not need it? We think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah, where the Lord has left that sacred word for the help and encouragement of his dear people, a word to strengthen them. And when you've got no strength yourself, poor soul, you'll need such a word as this. And may the Lord speak it to us tonight. That 10th verse of Isaiah 41, and what does he say? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is a strengthening word to a real child of God, especially when they're in trouble, in affliction, in distress. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then listen, this beautiful word. The Lord speaking, and let us ever remember this. I, the Lord, will strengthen thee. And if the Lord speak that to you, poor soul, tonight, you've got something you can plead before him. You can take it back to the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, thou hast promised me this. Oh, do yet fulfill it. And you'll need him to continually fulfill it. You see, when he gives such a promise as this, it's not just for that day. Though it be life and power the day he gives it, it'll be for the steps that you've got to go through. I will strengthen thee. No matter what else fails around you, the Lord says, I will strengthen thee. How we fail ourselves, don't we? Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then we think of dear Daniel. That beautiful word that I may have told you before, you know, the Lord spoke it to me many years ago now, when I had been very ill and I was ever so weak, and I said, Lord, I can't go on with the exercise, the ministry and the trials of the journey and the great affliction I was in at the time. And the Lord spoke this beautiful word. I've never forgot it. And he said, oh man, greatly beloved. Oh, think of that beautiful word. It was just as though I could take you to the old bedroom where I used to sleep, and the Lord spoke it. Oh man, greatly beloved. You know, it just melted my heart. Greatly beloved. You know, the Lord does love in a beloved way his dear children. Greatly beloved. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. And oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor soul tonight. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And you know, as the Lord spoke it, I felt the strength come in me in my soul, the strength come in me in body and in mind. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now, you need strength, poor soul, to continue. You need strength to endure. You need strength to hold on your way. And that strength all flows from the Lord. And it'll flow into the hearts of the children of God. Even in this dark and solemn day, he still has the same power to give strength to his dear children. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen. And do you not need it? And do not ask strengthen. Well, let us just, with much reverence, turn to the dear Redeemer himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I've often thought of that when you're in the depths. And we feel to have got no strength. Think of the dear Lord Jesus. In the depths of his agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew as man much weakness. He was made weak that his dear people might be made strong. And you think of what is recorded. There was dispatch from heaven, the angel of God, that came and strengthened him. And poor soul, if the dear Lord of life and glory needed strengthening, so do you and so do I. And without that strength, you can't go on, can you? And then there may be times where the Lord drops a line of a hymn, or maybe a whole verse of the hymn, or maybe the whole hymn. The Lord's a sovereign. And it'll be such a strength to you, because it expresses the exact feeling of your heart. And the Lord so speaks it. One thinks of this. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. You look at your lot and your pathway and you say, Lord, but there's much that dismays me. How can I venture forward? By the strength of the Lord speaking such a word as that. And you see, when the Lord speaks, there's not only divine power with it, there's strength in it for the needy sinner. Establish, strengthen. And then he says, and settle you. It's a beautiful word, you know, that was very sweet to me when this text dropped in. Settle you. And I said to the Lord, Lord, there's so many things I need thee to settle in my soul. Do we not need him to settle us that it is well with us while life endure and well when called to die? It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a settling word that you can live on. You can die on, you can rest on for time and for eternity. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And if the Lord speak that to your poor soul tonight, poor soul, it'll be a settling word to you that it is well with you. Settle you. You may have wondered why we read together this evening that beautiful chapter concerning Abraham's servant going forth to seek a wife for Isaac. There were two things as I thought upon this text, and especially this last two words, that so rested upon me. Oh, I trust it was the Holy Spirit laid it in my heart. First of all, how the dear servant of Abraham needed the Lord to settle him, that he was right in his exercise, he was right in going forth to seek a wife for Isaac, that the thing proceeded from the Lord. And you look how wonderfully the Lord settled him by answering his prayer and Rebekah coming forth. By when he got to the house of Laban and Bethuel, what did they say? They didn't turn him away, did they? What did they say? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? It's a wonderful settling word, that is, isn't it? There's no doubt it settled him in the whole matter. But then think of Rebekah. She was to leave her parents' home and to go with this servant back to Isaac. She needed to feel settled in it. And you think of those that venture into courtship, they want to feel, if they exercise a right before the Lord, settled, that the thing proceeded from the Lord. Rebekah needed it. And the Lord wonderfully settled her, you know. And he settled it. And think of that beautiful word that was put to her when they wanted her to tarry 10 days at least. They said, we will inquire at her mouth. Wilt thou go with this man? And what did she say? How settling it was for Abraham's servant. I will go. I will go. She was settled in it, wasn't she? You know, it's a wonderful thing to feel settled in a matter. And there may be those of you this evening, I know not, that have felt many things that exercise you, concern you, burden you, and you want to feel settled in it. Well, may the Lord grant it. You think of dear Ruth, when she came out of Moab and the exercise of Naomi in it. Naomi wanted to know that the thing proceeded from the Lord, and she puts them to the test, both her daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. But Ruth was settled, wasn't she, to go with her. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. It's a wonderful thing to feel settled in the cause of God, isn't it? And settled regarding our exercises concerning following him. And the Lord can settle it. Oh, he can. And then let me just direct you briefly to another wonderful occasion where this was so. We think of dear Philip when he was preaching in Samaria and the Lord wonderfully blessed his ministry there. And the Lord was to direct him down into Gaza, which was desert. No doubt the dear man thought, well, what shall I do? Go into a desert. However can there be profit there? But the Lord settled it with him. Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. Carnal reasoning would immediately say, well, what's the point of going into a desert? There'll be no congregation. Nobody to preach to, but you see, the Lord settled it that he should go. And then we think of the dear man in that desert when he sees the eunuch in the chariot. No doubt there was much apprehension within the dear man concerning going to that chariot, but what did the Lord do? The Spirit said unto him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It was a settling word, you see. And those that you may be exercised tonight concerning that sacred step, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It's a wonderful settling word, that is, to an exercised child of God. And it may be in things that concern you tonight, and I must leave it, but, you know, settle you. Well, if nothing this evening or through today be done, may the Holy Spirit sweetly speak this word into each of our souls. And oh, to be settled and assured that Christ came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for us. Do you not need a settling word? I remember one of the first words the Lord dropped into my heart concerning my soul. I was in much soul trouble. And I didn't seem to get anything to settle me in it. And we sung that beautiful 330th hymn. And you know, two of those verses were so sweet to me. It was really the first hope I had. And it was this. The time of love will come. What a sweet prospect. When we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. And you know what an encouragement that was. It settled me. And for a sweet season of anticipation, the Lord would appear. And he would blot out all my sin and assure me that it was well. You know, when I ventured to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances some years after that, I was ever so tempted after I'd been before the church, I'd done the wrong thing and the devil was let loose. And the Lord spoke audibly these words into my soul, that last verse of that same blessed hymn. I didn't know what hymn it was in or anything, but it was so sweet to me. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. And all the sweetness of it, you know, it settled me. The devil was gone. Where's your mind and heart tonight? Is it stayed on the dear Redeemer? Who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Well, I must leave it because the time's gone. May the Holy Spirit then speak this word, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. Well, may the Lord grant it.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £730, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. 571.
Thank you.
come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be that which abides. Do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.